Let's shift to stories about hardware and physical connectivity, because there are several today that deserve real attention. SpaceX has filed with regulators to launch an additional 100,000 Starlink satellites, on top of the roughly 12,000 already approved and the several thousand already in orbit. The stated goal is 100 times the current bandwidth capacity. 653 comments on HN. This is a big discussion.
The sheer scale of what SpaceX is proposing here requires a moment of consideration. We're talking about a constellation that would outnumber all other satellites ever launched by humanity by a significant margin, concentrated in low Earth orbit. The bandwidth promise is compelling. Starlink has already changed connectivity options in rural areas, maritime contexts, and disaster response scenarios where terrestrial infrastructure doesn't exist or has been damaged. A 100-fold increase in bandwidth would make the service genuinely competitive with fiber for many applications.
But the concerns are serious, and the HN astronomy community is vocal about them. The astronomical impact of a large Starlink constellation is already measurable. Professional observatories have had to develop specific mitigation strategies, and astrophotographers at all levels are dealing with satellite trails in their images. Scaling to 100,000 satellites doesn't just make the existing problem worse proportionally. It potentially crosses thresholds where certain types of radio astronomy become significantly more difficult, and the optical sky in low-light conditions is meaningfully changed.
There are also orbital mechanics and space debris concerns. Low Earth orbit is a shared resource. It's not like spectrum where you can notionally create more of it through technology. There's a carrying capacity in each orbital shell defined by the risk of collisions and the long-term stability of the debris environment. The Kessler syndrome, the theoretical cascade of collisions that makes an orbital shell unusable, is not an abstract concern at the densities SpaceX is proposing. The counterargument from SpaceX is that their satellites operate at low enough altitudes that they naturally deorbit within a few years, preventing long-term accumulation. Whether that's sufficient at 10 times the current scale is something orbital mechanics researchers are actively debating.
On a much more personal scale, there's a blog post from Jeff Geerling about the Quad RF, a software-defined radio device that he's using to detect drones and visualize Wi-Fi signals through walls. 201 comments on HN, and the engagement is well-deserved. Geerling is a well-regarded hardware tinkerer, and his writing is accessible. He shows exactly what the device can see and how.
What's striking about the capabilities he demonstrates is that this is consumer-accessible technology. Software-defined radio has been available for a while, but the Quad RF apparently combines sensitivity and processing capability that makes tasks like drone detection and through-wall Wi-Fi mapping genuinely practical for a hobbyist or a small business. The applications are obvious: security monitoring, RF spectrum analysis, understanding what's happening in your wireless environment. But the implications for privacy are also real. If someone can see your Wi-Fi activity through your wall from outside your building, that's a different threat model than most people operate with.
The HN comments are running the full range from "this is amazing hardware" to "this is how surveillance begins to normalize itself through hobbyist adoption." There's a genuine tension there. The technology to detect RF emissions doesn't inherently do anything harmful, but the same device that lets you check for unauthorized drones can also be used to map the occupancy patterns of a building or detect the presence of specific devices.
Then there's the Iroh-powered smart fan, which is charming in a different way. Iroh is a peer-to-peer networking library. It handles the plumbing of establishing direct connections between devices without requiring a central server. Someone has built a smart fan that's controlled through Iroh rather than through a traditional IoT cloud service. You open an app on your phone, the fan appears, you control it, but there's no company server in the middle, no subscription, no data being sent to a cloud platform.
This is a proof of concept for something that a significant part of the HN community cares about deeply: local first, server optional computing. The critique of the current smart home ecosystem is that you buy a device, it works through the manufacturer's cloud service, and when the manufacturer decides to shut down that service, or gets acquired, or goes bankrupt, your device stops working. The Iroh approach inverts that. The connectivity is peer-to-peer. The control logic lives on your device, and the fan just needs to be reachable on your network.
The technical challenge is that peer-to-peer connections are genuinely hard to establish reliably across NATs and firewalls, which is the problem Iroh is designed to solve. The fact that this fan project works at all is a testament to how much the Iroh library handles under the hood.